I want to just continue with some things we were talking about last week and go maybe and expand on this just a little bit. Last week we talked about how we need to rekindle our love for the Lord. And I looked at this verse of Scripture and wanted to put, I guess you would say, a more of a positive spin on this passage of Scripture. But actually, it's just as strong and emphatic as it can be, and it cannot be denied that this is a strong warning from God's Word to us to make sure that we guard our love, guard our affections. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. If you'll look there with me this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. You can't get any more emphatic than that statement. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Isn't that a wonderful promise? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Forever. The world is passing away. But he that doeth the will of God is going to continue. Amen. Now, I think that there's some things that we talk about today that's common knowledge and Christian people know about this. But I can't help but just go through some of these things just because I believe that this is an important thing for us, especially as we are preparing our hearts for revival. We want to experience the move of God. And it's important for us to just look at the nature of the world and what's going on in the world that is around us. And that we pay attention to it and we heed the command of the Scripture here, love not the world. Love not the world. I think that there's at least three different senses that we recognize the world. We know that the world is the physical world that we live in, the creation, everything that you see, the beauty of it. Those of you that if you've got any kind of flowers or plants in your yard, you can start. You're starting to see them break back through the ground. And one of the most wonderful things about the spring season is the revival, the life that is coming back. And just a few weeks ago, whenever the weather was, zero temperatures, minus 17, it hasn't been that long since there was this hard freeze, and it would appear that it's just death and nothing but death. And how could life ever come back? But it's coming back. Green is starting to come back. And it reminds us of the fact that life will overcome. Amen. We see that in creation. The world is the physical world. The world is the people. God so loved the world. And when God died, sent His Son, and He died on the cross, He died for the world. And that represents the 7 billion people that populate this planet. God so loved the world. But whenever John is describing the world, loving not the world, he wasn't talking about the people. He wasn't talking about creation and the things that we see in creation. He was talking about the world, or the world system that we live in. The Greek word is cosmos. The world, the order of this world, the way of this world, the system of this world that we live in. And let's face it, as Christian people, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you are not still in the world. You are in this world. We live in this world. It's a fallen world. It's a corrupt world. It is a world system under the control of the God of this world. Amen. One of the things that It's been a frustration for me over the last few weeks is my shoes. My shoes are dirty and muddy all the time. And I clean them up and I polish them and I get them all shined up. And I don't get from the house to the church. And I look down and my shoes are dirty again. Now, some of you can relate to that. Because obviously it's been kind of a muddy, dirty season the last few weeks. But it kind of illustrates the nature of the world. You spend a little time and you just pass through the world and you get a little bit of the effect of the world on you. If you are working in public and living your community, your neighbors, the society around you, the people that are around you, there's just something about the nature of this world that it sticks to you. It has an effect upon you. And so for us to be able to take the challenge of this scripture from God's word, that we are not to love the world, that I believe that there are some things that we need to do, because we need to understand we certainly want to rekindle our love for the Lord, but there is this competing affection. There is this competing force that's wanting to attract you, wanting to pull you away from Jesus, wanting to pull you away from the things of God. When you got saved as a Christian, when you become born again, there's a spiritual transformation that takes place. The Bible says the old things are gone. Old things are gone, and behold, all things become new. That's a wonderful thing. I believe that there is not only something that you do as far as a decision to follow Jesus Christ, but I also believe that there's a work of justification that Jesus does by the Spirit of God in you, that He changes your heart and He changes your mind. And He gives you a new desire, a new hunger for spiritual things, for godly things. If you want to put your religion, your spirituality to the test, then it's a good thing to do. Just to take a look at your spiritual life and determine, do I love the Lord more than the things of this world? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. There's a work of the Spirit of God that takes place when you get saved. It's not just signing a card. It's not just signing the preacher's or shaking the preacher's hand or signing a membership card or just being, you know, immersed in baptism. All these things are good. All these things are appropriate and a good thing. But you need to get genuinely born again of the Spirit of God. Pray and call upon the Lord. Repent and confess your sins. And believe in Jesus Christ. And experience the touch of God upon your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that you have new desires and new affections and new goals in your life. Amen. But the spirit of this world and the spirit of this age are in competition with this work of the Spirit of God. Sure, you remember when you got saved and you've had spiritual experiences down through the years, and it's a wonderful thing to sense God teaching you and leading you and working in your life. That's a wonderful thing. And that's exactly the way that it should be as we grow in grace. But we also need to be aware of the fact that there is a competing force. That there is this force of the world. Just like I clean my shoes and before I know it, they already need to be cleaned up again. That's the nature of the world. The world is continually moving, continually active, continually trying to influence you and affect you. And really what the spirit of this age wants to do is get a hold of your heart. Get a hold of your affections and your desires. We know that the Bible says that Satan himself is the god of this world. And so Satan is working and he's controlling things in this world. There's a spirit in our age, a spirit that opposes God. It opposes truth. It opposes everything that is good and holy and righteous. And that's the spirit of the world that we live in, the cosmos, the system of the world in which you and I live in. 1 John 5 and 19, it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." If you become a part of the world system, then you are going to follow the direction, and the things that are happening in the world today will have an impact upon what happens to you and to your life. That's why it's so wonderful that we can know Jesus. Like the song says, it's all because of Jesus. Everything is different because of Jesus. That's our only hope in a world that's corrupt, in a world that is so evil and so moving away from the things of God. We live in that world. We're influenced by that world. But as Christian people, we're constantly aware of the fact that we have to guard our hearts, guard our affections, and pursue the things of God. That's why that you're always encouraged. Make sure you stay in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Let the Word of God be the washing and the renewing, the regenerating of your thoughts and your mind. Make sure that you are a person who calls upon the Lord and in prayer on a regular basis, on a daily basis, that you call upon the Lord, because you need to keep the lines of communication open between you and the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's the system of this world. If you're not very careful, you'll be distracted. You'll be even confused by the world's influence where we live. Amen. Now, I don't believe we should live intimidated. I don't believe we should live in fear of the influence of the world. I think we need to be aware of what's going on around us, and we need to understand that we're always susceptible to be influenced. I believe that, but I don't believe we should live in fear of that. I believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's what the Bible says. So we don't live in fear of the world, but we understand the nature of this world, and that we're living in the world, and how subtle it is, and how easy it is for you to fall prey to the lies of the enemy of your soul. Amen. By distraction, the enemy would love to distract you from the things of God, and he would love to confuse you and to twist the truth. But the Bible says that when Stephen stood up to preach that day, even though he was in a crowd that was opposing him and eventually stoned him to death, the Bible says that when he spoke, they couldn't resist his words. He spoke with such power and authority and such wisdom that they were not able to resist it. And that was the testimony of others of the disciples, that they had such power and such a work of God in their life, and that they didn't fall prey to the efforts of the world around them, but they were overcomers. Amen. And we are made overcomers, and you can live as an overcomer in this world. You don't have to fall into the trap. You don't have to fall into the lies and the deception of this age. You can be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and not allow the subtle efforts of this world to influence you. Amen. We've all heard about the frog in the kettle. And at first, the fire is very low, but just gradually it's turned up. And the frog doesn't recognize it. The gradual change, the gradual increase of the temperature, he just kind of acclimates as the water gets warmer and warmer and warmer until he is boiled to death. And that's exactly the way that the world system works in our life. Since we live in the world, every day we're crossing paths with those in the world. We're influenced by all the things in the world. Everywhere you look, this world system is under the control, and it's dominated by the things of this world. It comes by way of the media. It comes by way of music. It comes by every possible way that the enemy finds to be able to influence you. It comes through association. It comes through friendships. It comes in every possible way that you are connected with people and with things in this world. And the potential for you to be influenced and for me to be influenced is very, very possible. It's very possible that we can be. It's so gradual. It happens so slowly that before we know it, we're caught up in it. We're taken in by the ways of this world. There's several verses of Scripture that are familiar to us that warn us about this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world." It's talking about the shape or the the general ways of this world, that we're not to be conformed or shaped or pressed into the mold of the world. We're not to be conformed to become like the world. But instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're not to be fashioned like the world, but on the contrary, you are to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. It has to do with your mind and your thinking and the work of God in your soul, in your mind, that you have been completely regenerated and changed. And on a daily basis, on a regular basis, you're continually being transformed and renewed day by day, renewed day by day, renewed day by day. If you're not renewed day by day, then the influence of this world is going to begin to be stronger than the influences of good and righteousness. Amen. James 4 and 4, it says, friendship with the world is enmity against God. The word enmity means hostile. To be a friend with your enemy is a foolish thing. To be a friend and to make deals with your enemy is a foolish thing. Your enemy is hostile toward you. So you do not sit down at the bargaining table with the enemy of your soul. You don't sit down at the bargaining table with those that are hostile, that want to destroy you and completely annihilate you. That's the spirit of this age. That's the spirit of this world that is bent on your spiritual destruction. The enemy wants to destroy you. So friendship with the world, cozying up to the world, loving the world, loving the things of this world, is a very dangerous thing, spiritually speaking. We're not to love the world, neither the things that are in this world. We're not to love the world and all the little things that can be identified or used by this world system to pressure you, to push you, to influence you, to touch your mind, to touch your heart, to get you to the place that you eventually cave in and you become like the world. Now, we're living in a church environment in our world today where, you know, it's quite easy just to kind of cave in, because there are many that are professing to know Jesus Christ and say they are following the Lord and even attend church. But when they walk away from church, they have no interest in walking with God. They're not interested in the Bible. They're not interested in spiritual things. It's just in name only. It's just something that they're doing. And I'm not, I don't have, I'm grateful for every church and for everyone who's preaching the gospel. I'm not casting stones at anyone, but I want you and I as a church to recognize that we have a real responsibility in the world that we're living in, and that is to not cave in to the thinking and the philosophies of this world, and to be reminded of the subtle tactics of the world. First of all, you begin to tolerate things that you would have never tolerated before. Here's some of the steps. Things that you used to be shocked by. And surprised that people would involve in them. But now we start off by just kind of tolerating it and going along, accommodating it, going along with it. And then the second step is we begin to accept it. We accept it accept it as the norm. We even say things like, well, that's just the world we live in now. It's just our society. It's just the culture that we live in now. And we're just going to have to deal with it as best that we can. It's a changing world that we're living in. First, we tolerate it. And then we begin to accept it. This is just the norm. People are doing it this way now. This is the way people live now. They're Christians and they're living this way. Accept it. The third thing is then we begin to cooperate with it. We cooperate with it. It's not really an issue anymore. We've pushed it out of our mind and we cooperate with it as if it's just the normal way that a Christian should live. And then fourthly, we become an active participant. We say, well, you know, everybody's doing it. We might as well. So we become a participant. We evolve ourselves. The things that used to shock us and we realize how awful and wicked and terrible that they were. But now You know, we've become calloused and desensitized. And so many are doing it that it just seems like, well, it must be okay. So we get to the place that we are accepting of it and we even are willing to participate in it. You see the gradual steps that take place in our lives as we move away from the love of God. Keep yourself, the Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God. Actively pursue your walk with God. Actively involve yourself in growth and in the process of growing in the knowledge of the Lord and growing in even in your sanctification. Amen. Separate yourself from the influences of this world. I know it's a confusing time that we live in. Things are happening so quickly and the culture is changing so quickly around us that things are happening so fast. Just in the last 15 or 20 years, I would have never have believed that we would get to the place in the United States of America where that there would be evangelical churches and that were approving of gay marriage and even participating in it and performing those ceremonies in their churches, that there'd be large groups of evangelicals in the United States of America that are being taken in by this lie. I'm doing just the opposite, Brother Bowman, of what you tried to bribe me about. Amen. Amen. I read an article that was in Charisma magazine that said something like the title of the article, "Should Christians Attend Gay Weddings?" I didn't even read the article. Just the title of the article was enough for me to back off and to say in my spirit, no, 1,000 times no. We can't give in to the thinking and the philosophy of this world. You say, well, do we love people that are in sin? Absolutely. No matter how far and how deep in their sin that they are, do we love them? Oh, yes, absolutely. And do we welcome people into church that are bound in wickedness and terrible immoral sins? Absolutely. We want them here. We want them exposed to the gospel. We want to love them and pray for them and minister to them. But we do not want to become an active participant in the sin. And we must not, and we must commit ourselves to this. Love not the world. Love not the world. We have a responsibility before God to be a godly people, a holy people, a peculiar people, a people that's set apart, a people that finds our identity in Jesus Christ and not in this world's system. Amen. John Wesley, when he went away to school at Oxford, his mother, Susanna Wesley, wrote him many, many letters. One of his letters, this was a part of it. She wrote to her son, "Whatever weakens your reason, whatever impairs the tenderness of your conscience, whatever obscures your sense of God or takes off the delight for spiritual things, whatever increases the authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin." Amen. How'd you like to get a letter like that from your mother? Amen. I've probably got a few pretty close to that. But let me tell you, John Wesley was a man of God. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he was, but still yet, his own mother recognized you can be influenced by the world that you are living in, and you can be affected by it, and many times that we are. Compromise is just so subtle. It's so quick. It's so easy for us to fall prey to one little thing. First, we just kind of begin to sit down at the table with the enemy and begin to negotiate. And we allow ourselves to begin to accommodate the enemy and accommodate the lies. Before long, we find ourselves not only accepting it, but participating in it. And our own lives are being influenced by the thinking and the philosophy of this world. Amen. I'm thankful that when you get saved, that you can be set free from sin. Amen. Set free from sin. I understand that none of us are living as perfect. We're not perfect. We do make mistakes. We are frail in our humanity. And I understand that. We do make mistakes along the way. But if we sin, We have an advocate with the Father. We're able to go to Jesus Christ. And we're able to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, this has affected my spirit. This is touching my life. It might be compromise or unforgiveness or whatever that it might be. And that the enemy's using to gain access to your heart. Then you are regularly going back to Him and back to the altar. And confessing that and understanding that Jesus is that one that's defending you. Amen. And forgiving you. Amen. We're not to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's pleasures, it's honors, it's profits, anything that this world has to offer. Always put yourself on guard. Amen. And remember that the world is competing for your heart and your affections. Amen. It's a good thing to put your own Christianity, your own faith to the test. We all need to do that. We need to test where we are. The scripture here says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's no way they can coexist. If you are developing a love for the world and the things of this world, it's going to push God out. God's not going to have any place in your life. It's going to push your relationship with God out. But as you grow in the things of God and you develop your walk with the Lord and grow in the things of the Lord, then the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Amen. Amen. They won't mean as much to you. You wonder, how did I get joy and happiness out of all of those things in the world when I could have Jesus? Just give me Jesus. That's what we want, is the Lord. We want Him, and we want that walk with the Lord, that relationship with Jesus Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. This world, by its very nature, is decaying. It's passing away. Everything that's in this world. If you're all worried about having the latest things, the nicest, newest car, the best and the fanciest home, and if all those things have got a hold of your heart and that's all that really matters to you, you're in a dangerous place. It'll steal your affection. It'll steal your heart for the things of the Lord. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. This is a world that is deteriorating and passing away. That fine new vehicle that you've got, do you recognize that vehicle in just a few years is going to be in the junkyard? It's going to be all rusty. It's going to be corrupted. It's going to be smashed up and burnt up and melted and turned into a washing machine. It's just going to pass away. It's not going to last. Nothing in this world will last. And how foolish for us to invest our lives in the things of this world when we can invest everything in the kingdom of God, and we can invest in the things that really matter and that will truly last. It's a sad thing, Brother Terry, dying in Belize yesterday morning at 3:00 in the morning. But that's probably, I don't know how many trips he's made in missions, but many, 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 many in 40 years of ministry. So many trips. And I would say, if we could talk to Terry today, he probably would just say, it's okay with me to die on the mission field. It's okay with me to die doing what I love to do, reaching out to souls and building churches and involved in the work of the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a way to go. Amen. Doing the will of God. Doing the things that the Lord has called him to do. So put your Christianity to the test. To see, do you love the world or do you love the Lord? What's more important to you? It's hard for me to imagine this, but every time I read in Timothy that verse of scripture that says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Whenever you read that, It just strikes a dart in your heart when you think, how could that happen? It's believed that Demas was a convert of the Apostle Paul in his ministry at Thessalonica. That was where he was from. And that he was one to the Lord and became a partner in the ministry and was with Paul. He heard his teaching and preaching. He saw the miracles. He witnessed the power of God and the establishing of churches and helped in that and invested in that. He was surrounded by all kinds of men of God. What better possible situation for a young man to grow in the things of the Lord and to move forward in his walk with God? But something caused Demas to turn. Most believe it was because of the persecution that was coming upon them as preachers. And also, what the Bible says is that he loved this present world. He returned back to Thessalonica. The pull of the world pulled him right out of that ministry team. It pulled him right out of his mission, right out of his calling, right out of those influence of godly people. The love of the world. It's believed that Thessalonica was a very advanced city and was a city somewhat maybe like a Las Vegas, you know, nightlife and wild living and just the things of this world that were the attraction in a place like that. And somehow he never got Thessalonica out of his heart. And he went back. A lot of people go back on the Lord because they've never got the world out of their heart. They love this present world. Demas has departed, having loved this present world, and has returned unto Thessalonica. He's abandoned the ministry. He's abandoned the Apostle Paul, and he's went back to the ways of the world. This is what the love of the world will do to you. It will stop your progress in God. It eventually will destroy you, spiritually speaking. What can we do? Pursue God with your whole heart. Amen. Pursue the things of the Lord with your whole heart. Amen. And love Jesus and follow in the will of God and the plan of God for your life. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Be a person of the Word. Be a person of prayer. Be a person who's following God's will and attentive to the voice of the Spirit of God. Don't be casual about your Christianity. Be committed. Be determined. Make up your mind. Give your whole heart to God. And don't allow the influences of this world. Amen. So every day, and sometimes two or three times a day, I have to get the brush out and get the dust off my shoes again. And that's what you have to do. Living in this present world, you have to go to God every day and you have to say, Lord, help me to not be influenced by the philosophy and the ways of this world. Help me to love you and to not love this present world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your promise, Lord, that you will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And I know, Lord, that you're with us today. Lord, there's so many influences in the world that we live in, but we thank you, Lord, for the power of your grace, the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work in us today. And I pray, Lord, first of all, for Christians that are feeling the pressures of this world, are feeling, you know, the attraction to the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to repent of those things, to confess those things, and to be honest, Lord, in your presence. I pray, Lord, today for those in this meeting that they're not serving you, they're not Christians. And Lord, we know that your wonderful grace is poured out upon them today, and they can find you in a personal way. Hallelujah. Or I pray that there would be a work of the Spirit, and the love of God would be shed abroad in the hearts of those today who come to you. Lord, may we be challenged today. May we be warned from your word. And help us, Lord, to be sanctified in your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.